This is Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Beth Ruriak. Paula Tryk de Bord's 2018 novel had a critically current storyline. She had no way of knowing how relevant it would be when she was writing it back in the first half of 2016. The book is called Here We Lie. It's about a young woman who is sexually assaulted and then silenced by a powerful man in politics. Before we replay this interview, you should know that it covers some sensitive topics. We talked in January of 2018.
This has been a very surreal experience in a number of ways. As you know, there's a lag time between writing a book and having it be published. And I was writing most of this during the beginning of 2016, in the summer of 2016. And there was a presidential election in sight, although that wasn't really influencing my storyline. I just had decided it would be a political figure of some sort in this story. So it has been very weird to, I've been calling it my life imitating art moment in some ways, to see what's in the national news, you know, reflecting a lot of things that I've been writing personally. So
let's talk about the storyline, because the two main characters are young women in their 20s, Lauren and Megan. They're complex people. They have a very deep friendship that actually sets up the rest of the book. So say what you want to for people to know what happens.
Okay. So the characters are very different from each other, and I wanted to set it up kind of as an unlikely friendship. They meet in college, and I know that for many people, that's a time where you meet people from different walks of life and different right. backgrounds. So one character named Megan is from a small town in Kansas, and the other is Lauren, and she's a senator's daughter from Connecticut. And they come from entirely different worlds and sort of collide in college and do become close friends, as you mentioned. And Megan kind of gets sucked into Lauren's world more and more, and that's kind of a world of prestige and privilege, and there's not really consequences for some bad behavior, that things can kind of get covered up a little bit. And she does get kind of more and more sucked into that world.
So there are secrets and lies in this story. And that's a theme that you have visited before in your books. And secrets and lies that happen sometimes in your 20s can be big, but when we're at that stage of life, we don't understand how big or how they can last for the rest of our lives.
Right. So Megan is a character who tells some lies to kind of make herself be a little bit more interesting and a little more intriguing to Lauren and to other people in the book. And later, some of her own lies do come back to kind of haunt her when she's thinking about coming forward about something that's happened to her. She realizes that people have this impression of her as a different person than she really is. And so that keeps her from telling the truth at a crucial moment. It's one of the reasons she doesn't tell the truth at a crucial moment.
Now we have the Me Too movement, and we have a number of other campaigns encouraging women to use their voices to talk about abuses and assaults and harassment situations that have happened. So it occurred to me that your book could be a trigger for a lot of real stories, a lot of real voices. Has any of this happened in the preview reading already? You're smiling, so it must have.
Yeah, so, I mean, the book has been out to reviewers and bloggers for a while, and I'm hearing a lot of the same kind of feedback about how timely it is. I'm also hoping that people do see it, in a sense, as being empowering. I didn't have an idea that the Me Too movement would be there, of course, when I was writing that. This is a fictional account, but it's a woman struggling with, I think, a lot of very all too real things for people, like the decision to come forward about something and all the many factors that might prevent someone from doing that. And I think that there's some misunderstanding about why someone might choose to keep silent about something. And that's something a national conversation right now has sort of been wrestling with. Mm-hmm. But why wouldn't people come forward and so on? And that's something I address in a fictional situation here that I hope might answer that for some people.
There's also the flip side. It happens less often, but occasionally women are the first to say, I don't believe you, or the way you behaved is part of why this happened. And sometimes it's hard to hear that kind of conversation or those accusations. What about that aspect?
Yes, absolutely. And I tried to address that in this book, not foreseeing where this conversation would be in the current day. I have a character who automatically takes the person who's committed a sexual assault. She takes his side. And there are others who seem very skeptical that this character could, in fact, have been assaulted. I think people do have a sense of wanting to believe a certain narrative, and they have that in their head, and maybe partly as protection also. They're saying it can't happen to me because I don't behave in that way or I don't dress in that way. And so maybe that's some kind of self-preservation mechanism that just like unconsciously kicks in. I'd like to think that women can support each other and hear each other's stories. And I certainly am trying to do that, you know, in my own life now, becoming a little more conscious of this through writing this book. So hopefully.
You're donating your author proceeds too from the sale of those books, aren't you?
As soon as I realized that my book was having this sort of connection with this national moment, it seemed like a good fit for me. I'd been thinking about it. I've had a lot of really great support in Modesto and a lot of readers in that area, and I thought I would donate some proceeds back to a local organization. But then when all of this, the Me Too movement happened, I was more and more thinking about what I could do in my own community. And I think one of the things I could do is support Haven Women's Center, which is a fantastic organization that helps survivors of sexual assault and long-term abuse, and has a lot of programs to prevent that as well, and to help people get back on their feet. So I'm going to be donating my proceeds from that night to Haven.
This is a cliche question, I'm sorry, but given all that we've just talked about, I do have to ask if this connects in any way to your personal life and if you've lived the experience of either of the young women that you've written about.
So this is fictional. It's not meant to be autobiographical and be telling my story. But I think just about every woman has had experiences, whether an obvious assault or some like lesser degree of offense, just for the mere fact of being a woman. There's actually a scene in the book where the two girls are riding on bikes and a truck full of guys pulls up next to them. And it's a very ominous scene about what might happen to them at that moment. And that sort of relates to something from my own life. And that's the only thing in there that might do that. So it's not meant as an autobiographical thing, but I hope just... You know, I think as women, we should be able to support other women, even if we have not had the same experiences that they have, but just to listen to them and hear their stories and see what we can do to prevent things like that in the future.
Your touring with this book is just about to begin. Are you prepared for what might be coming at you, the wave that you might be walking head on into because of the story?
It's been really interesting over the last few months. I've had friends who've read the book call me and say, I can't believe what's on the news right now. I feel like I'm looking at your story. And so I've been preparing myself for these questions, and I know that that might happen. The response overwhelmingly has been really positive from early reviewers. I'm not trying to make a political statement with this book necessarily, but just like a human one. So I'm hoping people will see that.
That was Paula Tryke DeBord in January of 2018 talking about her novel Here We Lie. She mentioned donating the proceeds from the sale of her books. That happened on the night of an event during her book tour back in 2018. And that's Insight for today. I'm Beth Ruriak. Insight is produced by Kate Gonzalez and Cody Drabble. Our digital team is Chris Hagen, Casey Gardner, and Emily Zentner. We had help from Helen Barrington and Antonio Munez. Our technical director is Mark Jones. Insight's executive producer is Joe Barr. Thanks for joining us.